So the thing is, like, when I started at university, it was like, really stressful. So and I don't know, I just really quickly like just became just like really ill, and I like I was I don't know what it was. I just had to just like sleep all the time. I just like totally just like I totally like had no just no energy, and like it didn't like I just like took a year out of university, but like I suppose like it didn't matter because I have like really rich parents. So I'm very grateful for the fact that I have extremely rich parents. So I basically spent a year asleep. I just had no energy. And then when I was just getting over like whatever that was, and I go to doctors and doctors, they wouldn't know what it was. They'd say that they couldn't understand what was wrong with me. They gave me blood tests. They gave me all kinds of things. And then I ha and they said I had maybe chronic fatigue, and then just when I was getting over that, I caught COVID, and it turned into long COVID, and then I was just like, that was it. That was just like another year. I was just like just written off basically, and all I could do was just sleep. I just had no energy, so I just like spent the time in bed. And really, the reason like what happened really is that I'm what's called a covert narcissist. So I'm a person whose parasitic system, whose way of surviving is to basically just parasite of other people and convince them, like bond myself to them very strongly, and then convince them that I'm the ultimate victim, that there's no one iller than me, that I'm just like a misunderstood victim, and then I can just sort of just do nothing basically, and just live off them, and that's really my system, because ultimately I'm just far too lazy, and my self-esteem, you know, I think I'm perfect, I think I'm wonderful, and I deserve it basically, like I just deserve to be looked after. But no one's no you know brilliantly I've kept this from them, the fact that I'm a covert narcissist, so they're just convinced that I have chronic fatigue syndrome and I can just parasite off people for like the rest of my life. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now today I would like to talk about such conditions as long COVID, chronic fatigue syndrome, and ME, and what I want to, and indeed the fact that these things have long existed. They've existed. They were commented on in the 18th century, the 19th century, where you had a process whereby women would just spend, if they were upper class, a few years just lying in bed. And this is one long process of a certain kind of manipulative, dishonest woman who takes advantage of people because she's fundamentally lazy, and who thinks that, but she thinks that she's great, she thinks that she's perfect, she thinks that she's wonderful, and therefore that she deserves to have the world look after her and serve her. We might call it princess syndrome, but what we actually call it is chronic fatigue syndrome. It's always existed, and the people involved are vulnerable narcissists. But before I look at that, could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe here on YouTube, and could you also subscribe on my Substack, thejollyheretic.com, where I put all of the spiciest and most based content that I dare put on YouTube, in-person interviews, all kinds of interesting people, films that I'm making, and where if you like what I do, you can support me for as little as the cost of a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. Now, you will have noticed, if you look in any history book, that there's a long phenomenon whereby people, mainly women, but sometimes men, simply take vast amounts of time off. Months off at a time, if they're rich enough to be able to afford to do so, just doing nothing. Just lying in a sanatorium, just lying at home in bed. It wasn't unusual for upper-class women to take maybe even years just lying in bed, doing nothing. Nothing. Now, what this was put down to at the time, the term they used for it was nerves. And the reason they used the term nerves was because they wanted to distinguish it from mental illness, because mental illness had a tremendous taboo surrounding it, whereas was the idea of nerves didn't. People that had mental illness, they had depression or something like that, they were mad. Whereas people that had nerves, this was just an accepted thing that would happen. Though interestingly, it would only happen to people to whom it could afford to be able to happen, i.e. people that were rich enough to be able to take vast amounts of time off lying down and doing absolutely nothing. Now, what it could be argued was that in a time before medication for things like depression and anxiety, there really was very little they could do. They might bleed you with leeches, which might have some positive effect, but really they could do nothing. And so therefore, all you could do if you had this condition was just take time to get over it. Just take the time to get
over it. Now, interestingly, social anxiety, being highly anxious, this is associated with what we would call a slow life history strategy. Because if you are a slow life history strategist, then you are evolved to live in a harsh ecology, which is structured and predictable. And to survive in that ecology, you have to be able to get on with people. You have to be able to be part of a group, because if you're not part of a group, then you will just die off. So in that ecology, it pays to be socially anxious. It pays to anticipate what other people will think and to be concerned about upsetting them so you don't get cast out by the group. Therefore, being socially anxious, this is associated with being a slow life history strategist, with being high in conscientiousness, high in agreeableness, and with the exception of the anxiousness, relatively mentally stable. Now, having post-traumatic stress disorder, this is associated with a fast life history strategist, i.e. that you live fast and die young. And you don't need to get on with people. You don't need to bond with people because food is always available. It's an unpredictable ecology, but it's an ecology that's plentiful. So you don't need to adapt to get on with people. So you're higher in negative feelings, in neuroticism, in mental instability, but specifically in post-traumatic stress disorder. Because what does post-traumatic stress disorder involve? It involves something awful happening to you, or something at least that you experience as awful, and in order to cope with it, you just shut down. You shut down, you just go off and just do nothing. And you take a very long time to get over these negative feelings, these bad things that have happened to you. Now, this is adaptive in so much as it ensures to help that you don't get into that situation again that provokes the extremely negative response that traumatizes you. But nevertheless, it means you could just take time off and do nothing to get over however it is that you are feeling. Now, this, of course, would be impossible in a stable yet harsh ecology. You wouldn't be able to take the time to just get over something because you have to be working all the time in order to survive. So you just die off. You wouldn't be able to react in that way. But in an easy ecology, it is adaptive to react in that way because it means you think about it and you avoid getting into that situation again, and you are able to react in that way. You are able to just do nothing or relatively little for a very long time because the food will always be available. So you shut down in order to cope. Now, we see that if we look at in our history, we took a lot more time off than we used to take. Vast amounts of time were spent on holiday. So part of the problem may be that we just don't have enough time. If you are a fast life history strategist, relatively speaking, and you are not evolved to be working all the time, you are literally evolved to be working for a little bit and then doing nothing for vast amounts of time. That's your evolutionary match. Then obviously, if you're placed in a situation where you have to work hard all the time, eventually you won't be able to cope and you will have burnout and you will crash and you will have something akin to post-traumatic stress, which is basically what burnout is. It's the idea that you've been stressed. You've been stressed and stressed and stressed and stressed and stressed. You've been on edge. You've been on edge. You've been on edge for a very long time, and eventually you crash. Now, you can cope with that, of course, in the artificial zoo that we have created, in the predictable yet easy ecology which we have created, in the artificial warm period but without the dangers, i.e. you know, of sudden illness or sudden collapse, which we have created. So it seems to me to make sense that what we would expect is for the kind of people who experience burnout, the kind of people who experience long COVID, the kind of people who experience chronic fatigue syndrome or ME, to be people of this kind, to be people who are high in neurotic traits, and that the long COVID or whatever is just their inability to cope with life, and they just sort of crash down, and they're ill, but they're not really ill. They're just exhausted by life because they're not adapted to cope with a system that is slow life strategic, that is a harsh yet stable system where they're expected to do lots of work and expected to, you know, get on with things and do things themselves and look after themselves. That's not what they're adapted to, so they can't cope. Now, consistent with this, the evidence is that something like ME is 75% female, and women, although on some measures they are slower life strategists than men, they are higher overall in neuroticism than men, and in particular they are more likely to suffer from things like anxiety and depression. So it makes sense they are 75%. 75% of those that suffer this are female. It's a 4-to-1 bias in favour of women. Now, if you look at these people that suffer from ME, about 30% of them have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. What is post-traumatic stress? Post-traumatic stress is the idea that when something traumatic, something unpleasant, subjectively unpleasant, remember, if you're high in neuroticism, you will experience normal things that other people can cope with as a trauma, such as having to do 1 year of your...
Are you ready for the future of the West?